today, close to full Ponzi, bubbles, bubbles everywhere, but will they pop or not? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and broad news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. As artificial intelligence stocks such as Nvidia, Meta Platforms, Microsoft and Alphabet push higher and higher, and even tech laggards such as Oracle and Intel suddenly catch an AI bid, warnings about stretched valuations, reckless capital expenditure and irrational exuberance seems to be, well, everywhere. Porter Collins, one of Steve Eisman's team during the Big Short era, a value investor and short seller, fired off a brutal social media post this week after Nvidia announced that it would pump $100 billion into OpenAI so that, wait for it, OpenAI could then buy lots and lots of Nvidia chips for its data centers, saying this is no doubt a positive for both companies in the near term, but this is close to full Ponzi. On the other hand, Mark Zuckerberg's recent comments on a podcast called Access suggests that the real risk to Meta Platforms is that it doesn't spend enough money on AI. If we end up misspending a couple of $100 billion, I think that is going to be very unfortunate, obviously, he says, but what I'd say is I actually think the risk is higher on the other side. Note, though, that the Magnificent Seven haven't made new highs since December 2024. They're actually making lower highs while the broader markets keep grinding up, a classic divergence pattern that usually ends badly for the leaders. Plus, you've got AI unicorns with around $2.7 trillion in combined valuations, despite most having minimal revenue streams, at least so far. Whichever way you look at it, investors have become incredibly short-term in their focus. The rise and rise of algorithmic trading, hedge funds and so-called pot shops, all of which are trying to profit off short-term movements in stocks around bits of news like company announcements or earnings results, have exacerbated the sense that markets have an attention deficit disorder. And yes, the boom in AI is driving markets, such that the US stocks mended higher on Friday after mostly in-line US inflation data came in, but the three major indices still posted losses for the week. The Dow Jones Russell Average rose 0.65%, the S&P 500 gained 0.59%, and the Nasdaq Composite gained 0.44%. But for the week, the Dow was down 0.2%, the S&P 500 was down 0.3%, and the Nasdaq fell 0.7%. So perhaps the September and October market weakness is still there in the background. Boeing rose 3.6% after Turkish Airlines said that it would order 75 Boeing 787 aircraft and had completed negotiations to buy 157 37 MAX planes. Separately, there was a report that US regulators will ease restrictions on Boeing and allow the company to conduct final safety checks and issue airworthiness certificates on some 737 MAX and 787 jets prior to delivery. And as for Tesla, Wedbush Securities lifted its 12-month price target for the stock by 20% to $600 US. That represents a potential 36% rise. Tesla rose 4% to $440.40. We believe Tesla could reach a $2 trillion market cap early 2026 in a bull case scenario, and $3 trillion by the end of 2026 as full-scale volume production begins of the autonomous and robotics roadmap, which said globally, the MSCI, which rose on Friday, was still down 0.59% across the week, while the European Stoxx 600 was flat for the week, thanks to that Friday spike. And the ASX 200, which was down for the month by around 2.14%, managed to rise sufficient on Friday to be higher across the week. The smaller caps Russell 2000, which has boomed recently, was also down across the week, although again it moved up on Friday. Now, if you step back, the truth is the AI boom is still driving the market, but Collins' warning was ringing in my ears. Just 200 years ago, the first commercial train trip between Stockton and Darlington in the UK triggered railway mania, the explosion of investments in this newfangled railway thing, which of course transformed the face and economy of Britain and spread like a rash around the world. Fortunes were made and lost. Many firms were formed and many faded, taking investor funds with them. And the Industrial Revolution was lifted to a new level, creating riches for some and poverty for many. I see the AI revolution in the same light. There will be winners and losers. Money will be made and lost. And the longer term impacts will be very consequential. But there will also be many casualties. And yet, beyond the hype, there is always the real value question. When Nvidia pumps money into OpenAI to enable it to buy Nvidia chips, the obvious feedback loop rings parallel bells to me to the banks and their mortgage borrowers, which money broke the economy in 2007 onwards. Remember, everything is great until it's not. And actually, the reason markets moved higher on Friday was partially because the US Commerce Department said its personal consumption expenditures price index, the PCE index, rose 0.3% in August versus the prior 0.2% rise in July, and matched the estimates of economists polled by Reuters. In the 12 months through to August, PCE inflation increased 2.7% after climbing 2.6% in July. Stripping out the volatile food and energy components, the so-called core PCE price index increased 0.2% last month. That followed a revised 0.2% rise in the core inflation in July. And in the 12 months through to August, core inflation advanced 2.9% after rising 2.9% in July. The Federal Reserve tracks the PCE price measures, of course, for its 2% inflation target. Analysts said some companies had fended off price pressures by stockpiling in anticipation of tariffs, but some volatility was to be expected ahead of corporate earnings to be released in the coming weeks. Data released on Thursday highlighted some strength in the world's biggest economy. Second quarter gross domestic product data was revised upwards to reflect much stronger growth in the economy than initially expected. The US Commerce Department reported that US gross domestic product rose by an upwardly revised rate of 3.8% from April to June, higher than the 3.3% initially reported. Market participants have been weighing up signs of a stronger economy against expectations for more interest rate cuts from the Fed. Last week, the US Central Bank cut rates for the first time since December and indicated more cuts were on the way. Actually, Fed Chair Jerome Powell offered little more direction at a speech on Tuesday, saying the central bank needed to continue balancing the risk of high inflation against a weakening job market. Investors also looked at the latest comments from Fed officials. Richmond Fed Bank President Thomas Barkin said he had very low confidence in inflation forecasts as tariffs continue to impact the economy. But Fed Vice Chair Michelle Bowman cited recent labour market data and said it was time to act decisively and proactively to address decreasing labour market dynamism and emerging signs of fragility. Data showed the initial jobless claims dropped 14,000 to a season-adjusted 218,000 for the week ended September the 20th. Other data showed the US economy grew faster than previously estimated in the second quarter amid strong consumer spending and business investment. Also, Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee said on Thursday that he was uneasy with cutting rates too quickly, with inflation a risk. So the investors are questioning where the Fed's path is going from here and are positioning for quarter end as the S&P 500 third quarter earnings season kicks off around the middle of October. Investors are anxious to see the September US employment data due next Friday as well. And also on the horizon is a potential government shutdown that could disrupt data releases and add uncertainty to the markets. And of course, we should note that the largest annual market increases since 1990 have tended to come in the last three calendar months of the year. October's average return was a solid 1.3% on average, December an even better 1.6%, and November is the gold medal market month, with the highest average gains at 2.95%. The average is positive over the quarter at 4.5%, and in fact, Since 2008's Great Recession, the only big downdraft was in 2018, when the new Fed Chair Jerome Powell endured President Trump's Twitter war over Powell's stubborn interest rate increases in the fall of 2018. All sounds familiar, doesn't it? Trump continues to play with his tariffs too, adding uncertainty, announcing late on Thursday a slew of new trade tariffs, most notably a 100% levy on the import of pharmaceutical products that would apply to all pharma imports unless the company has already started building a manufacturing plant in the US. The levies also include a 25% tariff on heavy truck imports, a 50% tariff on kitchen and bathroom fittings, and a 30% tariff on upholstered furniture, with the duties set to take effect from October the 1st. It remains unclear if the new levies would apply on top of national tariffs or whether economies with trade deals, such as the European Union or the UK, would be exempted. PACCAR, which makes most of its trucks in the US market domestically, gained 5%, and drug maker Eli Lilly rose 1.5%. The Wall Street Journal reported that the White House is considering a new policy that require UK tech firms to match their domestic semiconductor output with imports or face tariffs. The move is likely to boost demand for semiconductors from chip producers with a strong domestic presence. Intel Corporation jumped 4% and Global Foundries Inc. climbed 8%. US Treasury yields, which influence borrowing costs, moved little after the data was released. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note rose to 4.178%. The 30-year bond yield rose to 4.776%. Now, it's worth noting that when the Fed Reserve cut interest rates by 50 basis points in September 2024, many potential home buyers expected relief, but instead, 30-year mortgage rates jumped from 6.09% to 6.84% by November 2024, defying conventional wisdom about monetary policy transmission. While rates have since dropped to around 6.3% amid ongoing cuts, they remain stubbornly high, showing the disconnect is, well, very real. The dollar fell 0.33% to 98.18, but was still on course to notch a second straight week of gains against major peers on Friday, after data continued to show US economic resilience, potentially complicating the Federal Reserve's efforts to cut interest rates. The dollar was down 0.21% to 149.52 against the Japanese yen for a fifth consecutive week of gains, and was trading near its highest level since August the 1st. The euro was up 0.31% to 1.17 to finish the week lower, snapping three straight weeks of gains. But all up, the forward PE of the S&P 500 is around 22 to 23 times. That's near the top percentile from a long-term historical view. UBS observes it's among the top 5% readings since 1985. The PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index data, still shows growth, especially in the manufacturing and tech sectors. However, there are signs of softness creeping into services. Earnings reports remain strong in major large caps, especially tech and AI exposed firms, but mid and small caps have underperformed, with many earnings estimates getting revised downward. The bull case leans heavily on rate cuts, earnings growth, especially in AI and tech, global liquidity, and strong flow dynamics. If those hold or improve, there is still room for upside. But the bear case leans on overvaluation, deteriorating breadth, many stocks are not keeping up, rising risks of macro softness, inflation rebounds, weak labor, global shocks, and the possibility that momentum, especially driven flow momentum, reverses sharply. Analysts are divided. The S&P 500 is facing its greatest downside risk since the April lows, according to BTIG, which warns that over the next few weeks, equities are the most vulnerable to a downside move since the April lows. The bank pointed to stretched valuations and signs of weakness in several corners of the market, high volatility names were as extended as they've ever been. We're starting to see these reverse lower, along with many other areas like retail favorites, BTIG said. But Despite the liquidity wave and the surge in asset prices, Michael Harnett, Chief of Investment Strategy at Bank of America, cautioned that recent macro signals point to a resilient US economy. Mortgage refinancing and new home sales are at 3-month highs, and financial conditions have stopped easing as the dollar, yields, and oil prices move higher. Harnett argued that strong US data says macro don't need 2 Fed cuts by the end of the year, adding that expectations for additional easing are at odds with the current backdrop. And he said that while gains in gold, crypto, and equities have been fueled by the global rate cut cycle, a correction in those assets could be healthy so long as markets avoid a disorderly unwind of consensus trades. Gold futures rose another 2.78% this week to reach $3,809 before settling at $3,780. Though, if anything is going to break gold's recent run-up, it's a stronger dollar and higher rates. Gold looks extremely overbought, with an RSI of around 89.3 on the monthly chart, a level not seen since 1980. At this point, it just looks, well, unsustainable. Historically, when gold has reached those kinds of extremes, it's either paused or pulled back. And just recall that if you bought gold in 1980, you'd have had to wait till 2007 to get your money back. Silver moved above its second 2011 high and has just jumped above $46 US. And analysts are split on whether it can rise further or will decline from here. Oil prices rose again on Friday, tracking another weekly gain as attacks to Russian energy infrastructure and a surprise drop in US crude inventories tightened the market outlook. Brent futures climbed 1.5% to $70.47 a barrel before easing back to $69.75. And US West Texas Intermediate crude rose 1.7% to $65.19 a barrel. Both benchmarks have jumped around 4% this week, their biggest increase since the week ended June the 13th. Ukrainian drones struck a number of Russian energy facilities that resulted in Moscow imposing partial curbs on diesel exports and extending a gasoline export ban until the end of 2025 in a bid to safeguard domestic fuel supplies, thus limiting supply on the global market. On the demand side, data this week showed a larger than expected drawdown in US crude inventories. Over in Europe, European stocks clawed their way back from 3-week lows on Friday, lifted by gains in financials and industrials, leaving the benchmark index more or less where it began at the start of the week, steadying after the previous session's losses, with investors reacting to key US inflation data and the news regarding President Donald Trump's tariff uncertainties. The DAX index in Germany climbed 0.8%, with Lufthansa up 1.6% after a Reuters report said that the airline is expected to announce several thousand job cuts on Monday. The CAC 40 in France gained 1%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK rose 0.8%. Rio Tinto was the top gainer in the FTSE 100, up 3.5%, and UK's Intercontinental Hotels Group gained 4% after JP Morgan double upgraded its rating to overweight from underweight. On the European economic data slate, Spanish gross domestic product rose 0.8% on the quarter in the second quarter, more than expected, according to data released on Friday, while Italian businesses and consumer confidence numbers were also pretty much in the ballpark. In corporate news, all eyes were on Europe's largest drug makers as investors reacted to the news that Trump announced fresh tariffs, including that 100% duty on branded pharmaceuticals. Bank of England policymaker Megan Green said on Wednesday that the risks of inflation in Britain will prove stronger than the central bank's forecast, meriting a cautious approach to further interest rate cuts. The country has the highest inflation rate amongst the group of 7 economies at 3.8% in August, and the Bank of England thinks it will peak at 4% in September before falling back to the central bank's 2% target in the spring of 2027. Yields on British government bonds climbed after they showed the US economy grew more quickly than previously expected, pushing up borrowing costs on both sides of the Atlantic. The UK 10-year was at 4.747%. British medical equipment and services stocks fell 2.3% after the US Commerce Department said it had opened new national security investigations into the import of personal protective equipment, medical items, robotics, industrial machinery. Med equipment maker Corvatec Group was the biggest decliner on the FTSE 100, falling 5.6%, while Smith and Nephew declined just 1.2%. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, with pharmaceutical stocks leading losses after US President Donald Trump's imposed those steep tariffs on the sector, while declines in technology shares also weighed. Japanese stocks were outliers, rising marginally as a softer consumer inflation print fueled speculation that the Bank of Japan will not raise interest rates that soon. South Korea's KOSPI was the worst performer in Asia, sliding 2.1%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index slid 0.8%. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell between 0.3% and 0.5%. Among individual movers, South Korea's Samsung Biologicals and Hong Kong-listed Weiguo Biologicals fell between 1.7% and 4%. Japan's Dankai Shanko shed 1.9%, while India's Sun Pharmaceutical Industries and Dr. Reddy's Laboratories fell 0.6% and 2.4% respectively. India's pharma sector is heavily exposed to US exports, although a large proportion of this is in generic drugs, which appear to be exempt from US tariffs. Losses in technology stocks, which fell in tandem with their US peers, also pressured Asian markets. Artificial intelligence exposed stocks were the worst hit amid growing questions over a potential bubble in the sector. Asian chip stocks deepened their losses after the Wall Street Journal reported that the Trump administration was seeking ways to greatly lessen US reliance on chip imports, including a sharp increase in domestic production. But it remained unclear just how the White House will achieve this, given the heavy financial and logistical costs involved in chip making. South Korean chip maker majors SK Hynix and Samsung Electrical sank between 3% and 6%, while NVIDIA supplier TSMC fell nearly 2% in Taiwan trade. Chinese and Hong Kong tech majors such as Xiaomi and Alibaba and Tencent retreated after logging strong gains earlier in the week. Xiaomi slid 5% even as Goldman Sachs hiked its price target on the stock on optimism over an upcoming autumn event. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices rose 0.1% and 0.6% respectively, although bigger gains were held back by losses in tech and pharma. Tokyo Consumer Price Index inflation data read cooler than expected for September, with underlying inflation also seen to be easing from recent peaks. Tokyo core CPI grew 2.5% year-on-year in September, below expectations of a 2.8% rise, and remained steady compared to prior months. A core reading that excludes both fresh fruit and energy prices eased to 2.5% in September from 3% in the prior month. The reading is closely watched by the Bank of Japan as a gauge of underlying inflation, which remained above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. The print usually acts as a bellwether for nationwide inflation and spurred bets that cooling inflation will dent the Bank of Japan's plans to hike interest rates further. This notion also pressurized the yen, benefiting export-oriented stocks. Japanese stock indices remain close to recent highs, though, amid growing convictions that the Bank of Japan will leave monetary policy largely accommodative in the coming months. The central bank is expected to hike interest rates at least once more this year, but has flagged uncertainty over the Japanese economy and US trade tariffs. India's Nifty 50 index fell 0.4%, extending steep losses from earlier in the week, with pharma stocks being the biggest weight. Indian stocks were battered by increasingly uncertain trade talks with the US after Washington slapped the oil with 50% tariffs over its purchase of Russian oil. In Australia, the Australian share market swung to positive territory on Friday as a White House-induced slump in pharmaceutical companies was offset by a rally in metal miners and banks. After spending most of the morning lower, the S&P ASX 200 edged up 0.1% to be at 8,787. Healthcare led the losses after the White House unveiled that 100% tariff on imports of branded or patented pharmaceutical products from October the 1st, unless the maker is building a manufacturing plant in the US. Biotechnology giant CSL dropped 1.9%, Cancer Diagnostics Group Telix Pharmaceuticals lost nearly 3%, and imaging group ProMedicus shed 2.2%. Senior analyst Laura Sutcliffe is optimistic over CSL's flexibility with its existing manufacturing structure, yet she is not so sure about other areas of its business. Our biggest question is whether CSL's supply chain is insulated from impact, she said. Dual-listed biopharmaceutical company Mesoblast fell 2.8%, and radiopharmaceutical Clarity Pharmaceuticals slipped 0.5%, despite both companies confirming their products were exempt from the new tariffs. Elsewhere, miners were up, with Rio Tinto rising 1.1% and BHP up 1.3%. Iron ore was at $103.65 in Singapore. Silver companies led gains in the sector after the price of the precious metal cracked a 14-year high. Silver Mines jumped 5.7% in early trading. Andean Silver gained 6.2% and Unico Silver 16%. Lithium miners were also in demand, with Evergreen Lithium up 32% and Liontown lifted 6.3%. There was, however, far less joy in copper and gold, which dipped. Meanwhile, the big banks advanced, led by a 1.1% gain at National Australia Bank. Commonwealth Bank rose 0.8%, Westpac rose 1%, and ANZ was 0.9% higher. Macquarie was at $270.29. In corporate news, renewable energy producer Vulcan Energy surged 15% after signing a $179 million contract with a consortium of Turbodon and ROM Technique to develop and build a geothermal power plant in Germany. Eleanor Commercial Property Group gained 0.7% after its independent board recommended that shareholders reject a 70 cents a security takeover offer made last month by billionaire shareholder Paul Lederer, saying that the offer was neither fair nor reasonable. Shares in dual-listed critical minerals producer Iperamex jumped 5.4% after receiving a $25 million additional award from the US Department of War to strengthen the country's defense. Iron ore giant Fortescue was largely unchanged following partnership agreements with four green energy companies, electricity vehicles and battery manufacturer BYD, solar technology giant Longi, mining equipment maker XCMG, and wind and energy storage provider Envision Energy. The Aussie dollar was at 65.47 US cents and at 48.86 UK pence. The 10-year was at 4.379% and the 30-year was at 5.069%. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin slipped below 110,000 US on Friday, on track for a sharp weekly loss as about $22 billion in cryptocurrency options was set to expire. The world's largest cryptocurrency last traded 1.7% lower at 109,610, having fallen at one point below 109,000 to a six-week low earlier in the session. That was a 5% slide over the week. Other altcoins followed on as well. Earlier in the week, Bitcoin's decline was attributed to a wave of liquidations in the derivatives market, with a nearly $1.5 billion wiped out from crypto markets. Reports showed that the sell-off was intensified by traders holding directional bets via options contracts that benefited from sharp swings, highlighting the persistent volatility. Cryptocurrency exchange Kraken raised $500 million of fresh capital, a move that paves the way for its anticipated 26 IPO, according to a report from Fortune. The funding round completed without a lead investor valued the crypto exchange at $15 billion. Participants included asset managers, venture capitalists, and the co-CEO. Kraken is the 14th biggest crypto exchange by volume, according to CoinMarketCap data. TerraWulf is planning to raise approximately $3 billion to fund the expansion of its data centers through a structured deal backed by Google. According to Bloomberg, they stated that Morgan Stanley was arranging the potential transaction for TerraWulf and has a deal that could take place in either the high-yield bond or leveraged loan markets. Most altcoins fell on Friday as well and were poised for sharp weekly losses. Well, number two crypto Ethereum declined 1% to $4,004 and remains near its weakest level in several months. Ether was down around 12% this week. World number three crypto XRP fell 2.9% to 2.7828. Solana dropped 2.3%, while Cardano lost 1.3% and Polygon slipped 0.7%. So yes, we are indeed in very bubbly territory, and it's not clear whether we will continue to claw higher on the AI leg up, despite the signs of exuberance in the sector, or whether gravity will finally arrive to drive markets lower. I guess we will simply have to wait and see. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.